that with providence and the foreknowledge, we find a lot of that contained within the Scriptures, and the most excellent source of the foreknowledge is, of course, our Creator, who has that knowledge of all-knowing. And before the world began, He took steps in that foreknowledge to help mankind, that when mankind had troubles and errors, that it would be a plan in action. And we realize that through the Old Testament, that God had set about a plan, that the Father had set in His plan that when man had done wrong, that He would send His Son, and that His Son would be the sacrifice for that. In the Scripture reading in Matthew, the first chapter, in verses 18 through 21 that was done, the angel there appeared to Joseph, and he told Joseph that the son that Mary would bring forth would be called Jesus. That would be his name. He said, "Fear not to take her to you be your wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus." And he mentions here what the work of Christ was going to be, "For he shall save his people from their sins." This was the work that Jesus came to do, was to save mankind. Jesus means God who is salvation in that name. And the angel says that he will save his people from their sins. When you go back to Jeremiah in the Old Testament, a lot of the prophets spoke of this time that they were looking for when Christ, the Anointed, would come. And in His coming that the people would have redemption. In verses 5 and 6 of Jeremiah chapter 23, he says, "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will raise unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign and prosper, and shall execute judgment and justice in the earth. In his days Judah shall be saved, and Israel shall dwell safely. And this is his name whereby he shall be called, the Lord our righteousness." We realize when you fast forward into the New Testament time that when John the Baptizer came, that he made the statement when he saw Jesus coming unto him, that he recognized and made the statement that, "Behold," in chapter 1 and verse 29, when John saw him, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Here was the work that Jesus was going to be doing, is taking away the sin of the world. Peter and the apostles also confirmed this after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in Acts, the 5th chapter. In verse 31, where Peter says, "And him God hath exalted with his right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." So we definitely see that the work of Christ in being a savior was for that to the people, of being a savior of deliverance to them. And so Jesus would save from the guilt and from the power and from the punishment of sin. And sin has all three of those. And looking first at the guilt of sin, we realize that the sin that has took place started in the very beginning in the Garden of Eden. And it continued on through. And the sin could be one that you are aware of, and it could also be one that could be done through ignorance. Leviticus, the 4th chapter, spoke concerning that as far as with the king and with the people, that if there was a sin through ignorance, in chapter 4 and verse 22, down through verse 28, he says, "When a ruler hath sinned and done somewhat through ignorance against any of the commandments of the Lord his God concerning things which should not be done, and is guilty, or if his sin wherein he hath sinned come to his knowledge, he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goat, a male without blemish. And he shall lay his hand upon the head of the goat and kill it in the place where they kill the burnt offering before the Lord. It is a sin offering. And the priest shall take of the blood of the sin offering with his finger and put it upon the horns of the altar of the burnt offering and pour out his blood at the bottom of the altar of the burnt offering. And he shall burn all his fat upon the altar as the fat of the sacrifice of peace offerings. And the priest shall make atonement for him as concerning his sin, and shall be forgiven him. And if any one of the common people sin through ignorance, while he doeth somewhat against any of the commandments of the Lord concerning things which ought not to be done, and be guilty, or if his sin which he hath sinned come to his knowledge, then he shall bring his offering, a kid of the goats, a female without blemish, for his sin which he had sinned." We see here that there, with the sin, there is a certain guilt that is associated with that. when they came to the knowledge of it or were aware of it, there is a guilt of that, and with that guilt they had to do something with that. And in the Old Testament time, of course, they had to make confession of that, and then they also had to offer a sacrifice. When you look at the fifth chapter there of Leviticus in verse 5, it says, "And it shall be, when he shall be guilty in one of these things, that he shall confess that he has sinned in that thing. When it was found out by them that there was confession that had to be made, that the sin took place, and then when that was done, then there had to be an atonement made." In the fifth chapter again, in verse 6, "And he shall bring his trespass offering to the Lord for his sin which he hath sinned, a female from the flock, a lamb or a kid of the goats, for a sin offering, and the priest shall make an atonement for him concerning his sin." That's what God required, that there was guilt that was associated with it, and that guilt had to be taken care of or removed. And when it was found out, confession was made, a sacrifice was brought forth, atonement was made. And it did require this sacrifice. In Hebrews, the ninth chapter, the Hebrew writer tells us that from the very beginning, sacrifices were required. In the ninth chapter, in verses 6 and 7, the Hebrew writer says in verses 6 and 7, "Now these things were thus ordained. The priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of God. But into the second went the high priest alone once every year, not without blood, for he offered for himself and for the errors of the people." It took that blood to take and make atonement for the sins and for the errors that was done. Under the new covenant, of course, the blood of bulls and goats can't accomplish that under perfection that we're looking for. Under the new covenant, Jesus was that and is that sacrifice for sin. When you look at the 11th and 12th verses of chapter 9, "But Christ, being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us." When you look at Ephesians, the first chapter, and see what Paul says in the first chapter concerning this work of Christ. In the first chapter, verse 5, starting down through verse 7. "Having predestined us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." That predestination was done before the world began. And all that meant was God already had a plan of how man could come and be reconciled unto him. And that plan was that we would come to him and be reconciled through his Son, Jesus Christ. He says, "Having predestined us into the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." Through the blood of Jesus, that our guilt of sin is being and can be removed. When you look at Ephesians there, the second chapter, verses 11 through 16, Paul said, "Wherefore remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who were called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world." What a miserable condition. "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who were sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereof." This same concept is mentioned by Paul again in Colossians, the first chapter, verse 12. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins, And down in verse 19, "For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto him, by him I say, whether they be things in the earth or things in heaven. And you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." In Jesus and his sacrifice upon the cross and in our acceptance of him, we can have that guilt of sin removed. We can have that guilt of sin taken away. Second thing that he has accomplished is that we can have the power of sin abolished or taken away also. It can be broken. The power that sin has over us can be broken, but only through baptism. When you look at Romans, the sixth chapter, talks about the baptism or going through the death, burial, and resurrection into a new life that we accomplish when we become children of God. Romans, the sixth chapter, and starting at verse 3, says, "Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Now if you be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over him. For in that he died unto sin once, but in that he liveth unto God. Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that you shall obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God." We are called upon to do away with that bondage that sin has over us and to fight that and to live after the Spirit and not after the flesh. Again, continuing in the sixth chapter in verses 16, starting, "Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. I speak after the manner of men because of the infirmity of your flesh. For as ye have yielded your members servants to uncleanness and to iniquity and to iniquity, even so now yield your members servants to righteousness and to holiness. For when we were the servants of sin, we were freed from righteousness." Ye were free from righteousness. "What fruit had ye in those things whereof ye are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now being made free from sin and become servants to God, ye have your fruit unto holiness and the end everlasting life." He says in verse 23, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ." The power of sin that it holds over us, the wages of that is death. And that's the third thing, the punishment of sin. The wages is what is earned, and that is earned is death. But Jesus has freed us from that. In his resurrection from the dead, he has also made us available to have that same resurrection to eternal life. And that is through acceptance to him. We see again in the 23rd verse of chapter 6, yes, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when you look at John, the 3rd chapter, John records this here. In John, the 3rd chapter, starting at verse 14, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Eternal life is found in Jesus Christ. And to believe that He came and He was the Son of God, if we don't believe that, then we don't have any chance of eternal life. We have to believe that. And that's what we are called upon to believe, that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God, that was sent as a sacrifice for sins. In 1 John, the 5th chapter, starting at verse 10, He says, He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave of His Son. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life, and he hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you, that ye believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that you have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. That is required. The belief that Jesus is who He said He was. And to make that confession, just the same as Peter, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. When you look at the 5th chapter, there in verses 10 through 13 that we read, we see that promise of eternal life. In the 2nd chapter of 1 John, in verses 21 through 25, He says, I have not written unto you because you know not the truth, but because you knew it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Father, the same hath not the Father. But he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. Let therefore abide in you which ye have heard from the beginning. If that which ye have heard from the beginning shall remain in you, you also shall continue in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that He hath promised us, even eternal life. And this is the promise that we are extending to you to grab a hold of and to take this evening. Eternal life. Do you believe that Jesus Christ was the Son of God? Are you willing to accept that and make that great confession that He was the Son of God? Are you willing to accept the sacrifice that Jesus made for your sins, that the Father sent Him to do, and are willing to put to death the life of the flesh that you've been living in, and to live after the Spirit? And to be buried in the waters of baptism, be raised to walk in newness of life, to have a renewed thinking, to have a renewed mind, and to serve God and accomplish His will so you can have that entrance into heaven. That can be done this evening if that is your wish. If we can assist you in any way, won't you let it be known while we stand, while we sing.